it drops us into the present moment where we have full access to our soul, our intuition, our full capacity for compassion and empathy, which drives natural connection. And in those moments when you're connecting with someone without judgment, because that's not there in that space, there's just this openness and open-hearted expression, what I've found is that people feel safe in that presence of love that comes through us, through Reiki, and they open up and they share and they heal. And I know as a clinical hypnotherapist that every person that I work with knows exactly what they need, and the unlocking of the healing comes from them accessing their own divine wisdom and their intuition. And our role as coaches or as trainers, teachers, therapists is to walk them to their own understanding and to ask questions that elicit that.
Welcome to Small Business Talk for Coaches with Kathy Smith. This podcast is the ultimate resource for coaches looking to transform their coaching passion into a thriving business. Kathy Smith began a journey as a marketing professional in 2001 and has helped thousands of businesses to grow. Kathy specializes in helping coaches and is dedicated to showing you how to get your first clients and then many more. If you are ready to take your coaching practice to the next level, then you are in the right place. Whether you are just starting your coaching journey or you're an experienced coach not seeing the results you desire, then this podcast is for you.
Welcome to Small Business Talk for Coaches, episode 228. And today our special guest is Lisa Brandis. Lisa, would you like to tell us who you are and why you're here?
Thanks, Kathy. I am an intuitive Reiki master. I run a training academy that has moved online since COVID and have been teaching Reiki now for 2 decades. I'm also a clinical hypnotherapist, a successful business owner, and just here to help people to learn more about connecting with their intuition and how it can make you deepen relationships and help you in business.
Fantastic. And as everybody says when they say they've been around for 2 decades, you must have started when you were 2.
Thank you.
If you haven't checked out Small Business Talk for Coaches on YouTube, you will need to go over there and see that, the beautiful Lisa. And there's no doubt she's been around that long, but she certainly doesn't look it. So well done.
Thank you. That's nice to hear.
So we thought today we would talk about the power of connection, and particularly the power of client connection. So that's always a good topic. So let's see where the conversation takes us.
Yeah. So for me, as a woman, I really understood the power of connection when I was in struggle myself. So I think we learn the most through our own experiences, don't we? And then it's through the lessons and the tools and the techniques that we experience ourselves that really shift things and make a positive impact in our life that we then go, I want to know more about that. So taking you back 2 decades, I was quite young when I learned Reiki. So that was pretty much because of the role I found myself in my career. So I used to be Captain Starlight. So I was the first female captain working at Starlight Children's Foundation. And as an empath, so someone that's highly sensitive, I really used to feel that my sensitivity was a bit of a curse, not a gift, and always felt a little bit like I was different to others and I didn't quite fit in with the norm, and had this deep feeling right from as long as I know that I just wanted to help people and make a difference. And so being a natural empath and healer, I was always happiest when I was putting a smile on someone's face. So it naturally led to a role at Starlight. But the flip side of Starlight was, one part of the job was amazing. I entertained the kids. You know, I was in a role where I was blowing bubbles and distracting them from painful experiences. And the role title was to it was to uplift seriously ill children. So that was the role. But the flip side of that was that as an empath, I didn't have very good boundaries in place. So when those little kids climbed onto my lap, they certainly climbed into my heart. And so at quite a young age, I found myself asking the big questions as to where do we go when we die? Why do bad things happen to really good people? And it was one particular story with a child that died of leukemia at quite a young age that it just rocked my world. And I ended up in burnout, and I'm sure your listeners will have experienced some level of burnout or stress. So as a business owner, it's kind of inevitable, really, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly in the coaching industry because there's so many empaths in there, and even those that aren't still take on our clients' emotions, and we forget to look after ourselves quite a lot. So for particularly our American audience who don't know what Starlight is, can you just give a little quick 2 seconds to let people know what Starlight Foundation actually is?
Yeah, probably the closest to it would be the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So I know that's a global company. So essentially it was a not-for-profit organisation that I managed the Starlight Express Room, which was a room that was funded to provide entertainment and distraction for the children that were in hospital and ill. And they also had a Make-A-Wish section within Starlight that was about receiving funding in order to grant seriously ill children wishes just to brighten their lives and, you know, to help them in those tragic circumstances where they had terminal illnesses or where they were undergoing lots of treatment. So, to me, the role, I remember my mum saying to me, Lisa, this isn't a good job for you. Like, as soon as something bad happens, you're going to be a mess. And she was right on one hand, but the other side of it was it was deeply moving. Like there's something about being that close to someone's transition experience. You know, I had a moment, and I talk about in my book that I've just released, where one of the children was in that near transition, and I walked in the room ready to just blow bubbles and entertain. And then kind of as I walked in, I just sense the energy, when you've walked into a very vulnerable moment. And I literally, the minute I walked in, I saw Debbie, and she had a child just kind of laying across her chest, and she was just embracing, and her daughter was asleep. And it was just this, I shouldn't be here. And I kind of said, I'll leave. And I went to back up out of the room, and she goes, no, it's okay, come sit down. And I can't tell you what happened in that room, Kathy. I can't tell you what we spoke about. But what I remember is a feeling that stayed with me right till this point in time, so 20 years later, and it was unconditional love. When I worked at Starlight, I hadn't become a mother yet. It was before I met my husband even, and I remember just watching and feeling this love that was like a palpable presence that filled the room. And in that moment, I just felt this insane level of peace. And if I was later to kind of describe it would literally be like a whole room full of angels came to collect that little beautiful soul, because she not long after that made her transition. And when I say transition, it's a word I use for passing over or dying. To me, what I've learned and subsequently become a psychic medium and learned how to communicate with those that have moved to the other side, which is a little woo-woo, I know, I've discovered that love never dies. So there is a different relationship you have, but it moves into a different experience. And yes, it's devastating, as in the loss and the grief of a child. But that was kind of like that set a catalyst for me within my own healing journey. So I then went to Sydney, and as I was in Sydney, I basically had an emotional breakdown. So it was that experience and then lovely Brittany passing away. But then there were a few other catalysts that just, when it's just, it bubbles over, the emotion. And I found myself at my auntie's house, and she had a Reiki healer that was there. And I was a bit of a mess. And she said, can I just give you Reiki? And this would have been about probably a month after Brittany had passed away. And so I just sat in my auntie's lounge room And she placed her hands on my body. And I instantly felt like someone had opened a tap underneath my feet, and all the pressure and all the stress and all the anxiety and the depression that I was feeling, just literally, it was like it emptied out of my body. And in its place came light and love, and it had a frequency. And I literally felt like I'd been, and I know this sounds a little corny, but it was literally like I'd been wrapped in a blanket of love. And I didn't have words to explain it. And that's the best I can do in trying to put into words love, which is so hard to describe. But I woke up the next morning after having slept all night, and I'd suffered months of insomnia. So it was very unusual to have a physical shift energetically, but then to start to feel like my old self again, and start to feel like the worries of, the worries of the world had left my system. And then I literally said, I have to know more about this. And that was the beginning of the journey for me, was, you know, becoming then a Reiki student, and then later on becoming a teacher. And now two decades later, still teaching, and have trained thousands of students in Reiki. So it's an ability to connect to an aspect of unconditional love that I think as humans we're disconnected from. We very much rely on our intellect and our rational mind, our innate learning, but we've disconnected from our intuition primarily. So that's what Reiki brings us back to, that sense of connection with something greater than us. But I know it's a long story.
So for our listeners, and particularly our coaches, when we're thinking about making connections, particularly with our clients, yeah, what tips have you got for them?
Well, Reiki teaches us about being present. So first and foremost, it gets us out of our head and out of the thinking mind. So a lot of what I've experienced in sessions, and also as a natural talker and a natural speaker myself, quite often when we're engaging with others, we're not truly listening and we're not really being present with another. So Reiki as a hands-on healing modality slows us right down. It takes away the need to have a conversation to begin with. And really the conversation is done through the power of touch and just through the power of connection. So a simple session where we're just beginning with running energy starts by just opening up a level of compassion and care for your client. So that it always starts on a foundation of wishing the other well-being and holding a space of love and compassion. And then the energy puts us into a state of presence, and it also takes us out of the monkey mind, I call it, you know, where the mind's always going on overdrive. And it drops us into the present moment where we have full access to our soul, our intuition, our full capacity for compassion and empathy, which drives natural connection. And in those moments when you're connecting with someone without judgment, because that's not there in that space, there's just this openness and open-hearted expression, what I've found is that people feel safe in that presence of love that comes through us, through Reiki, and they open up and they share and they heal. And I know as a clinical hypnotherapist that every person that I work with knows exactly what they need, and the unlocking of the healing comes from them accessing their own divine wisdom and their intuition. And our role as coaches or as trainers, teachers, therapists is to walk them to their own understanding and to ask questions that elicit that, you know, that kind of response within them. But I've found that the greatest shifts and transformations happen not from intellect or analyzing. It happens from something greater than that, which to me can only be described as, you know, our soul's presence, and we access powerful intuition and knowing and energy that can change sometimes lifetimes of pain in an instant. And I've seen energetic shifts with my clients that you can't explain, that as a therapist and a coach, no matter how much training we do and no matter how many practices and tools we have, there's something that just happens in the moment when we're tapped into something greater than us that allows for a deepening of connection. And yes, with Reiki, we use it as a hands-on healing modality, but I teach a lot of professionals and business women that want to use the tools and the spiritual aspect of Reiki to help forge better, deeper connections with their clients without the need for hands-on. So you don't have to become a healer to get the benefits from learning, you know, intuitive Reiki, which is a style that I teach.
So is there a couple of tips you might be able to give our listeners of a place where they could start to deepen that connection with their clients?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an intention. So I always set a positive intention. So it can be as simple as just tuning in and just asking that your higher self connect with their higher self. So it's like a literally, it's, have you heard of the namaste? That prayer, namaste, is literally, I'm coming to you with all that I am from a basis of love to greet you from that basis of all that you are from your love. So it's like love connecting with love. So setting an intention. I also had a coach of mine that told me that when she was coaching with me, she always set the intention that she would enjoy the experience, that we would both get something out of it. So it set up this, it wasn't just one-sided, it was a coaching exchange where we both loved that interaction, because that was her very powerful intention in the beginning, that I get something out of this. I love what I do. I love the people that I work with. I love the teaching that I'm offering, but also so does my client. And isn't that an amazing way to work when there's this synergy between you? It just creates a recipe for a powerful connection that just goes beyond what we normally traditionally would do when we're just analyzing or working together from our, you know, from our analytical mind, which is powerful. We absolutely need the mind. We need, you know, to access those tools that we've learnt and our studies, you know, definitely validate the mind. But we want to work with a balanced approach. In my mind, is connecting with our intuition, connecting with that. And if we just call it mother instinct or, you know, father instinct, like we all have that, you know, when you're just standing in a room and all of a sudden you just get this feeling something's going on. I've got a puppy at the moment, so I can pretty much guarantee on a daily basis I get this, oh, I'm going to go check him and he'll be up to some mischief. And, you know, what is that? That's an intuitive gut feeling. Or, you know, everything looks great on paper in business, but something doesn't feel right and you can't put your finger on it, but you end up not trusting that gut instinct that said, because everything on paper looks right, or they present so perfectly that, you know, that there's no reason not to trust them, but yet there's something that just doesn't resonate. And how often in life do we not listen to that inner knowing and then end up with the lessons and later going, oh, yeah, I had a feeling that's going to be a negative experience.
Yes, absolutely. So have you got any tips on how we might actually listen to that, oh, it's just not right in the moment, or yes, it is right and I should go with it, and not have that 20/20 hindsight when you go, oh, yes, I knew that, but I didn't quite act on it in the time.
Yeah, you know, the biggest tip is presence, is meditation. If you can do meditation, is a deep breathing exercise that takes you out of the mind and into that space of awareness where you're the observer, thinking the thoughts and feeling the emotions that you're feeling. So when we're in the observer mode, then we're accessing, you know, our intuitive aspect. So we're another way to put it is when we're in a state or a mode of appreciation, when we, one of the, you know, because I guess to me, it's, I'm always looking at how do I get out of the monkey mind and how do I access the presence or the way of Reiki, which to me feels like peace, feels like non-judgment. It's a place of higher knowing and greater wisdom. So I'm always looking at how do I embrace being human, because we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So embracing the human aspect, yet also tapping into that greater part of ourselves. And it can only be accessed in the presence. So anything mindfulness, you know, there's so much, so many tips around being mindful. It could be simply having the intention to be present. So it's like I said, set up an intention to really connect with your client, It could be setting an intention to, this time I'm going to really listen and see if I can listen with all of my senses. So not just hearing what they're saying, but seeing if you can pick up those subtle cues. Sometimes the greatest, you know, the greatest insights come from the things people aren't saying, or noticing those little uncomfortable, you know. In my my coach was always picking up the things I didn't want to tell her. And it was like she had this, she was very tapped into her intuition and would have this innate way of pulling out of me stuff I didn't want to, you know, usually the fear or the stepping out of my comfort zone. And that's where the greatest growth came from for me in my business, was about constantly being pushed out of my comfort zone. You know, so for me, it's, yeah, she had an ability, an uncanny ability to witness me and to be present with me. And I think that, we all know when with someone, it's like, oh, how are you going? And yeah, good, thanks. But then they've kind of walked off before you've even, you know, or they've even registered your answer. And we also know how amazing it feels when someone is fully present with us. They're not distracted. And I think as women, we pride ourselves on being multitaskers, you know, because we have to, in some regards, get all the things done by being multitask. But, you know, there's a lot of evidence to say that we need to just focus. And so focus, you know, being present, setting powerful intentions are probably my top tips to turning off your phone and, you know, really being with the person that's sitting opposite you and valuing that exchange as the most highest opportunity and coming at it with full gratitude and appreciation. Because when we're appreciating the one we're with, we're closest to source, we're closest to spirit. And if spirit loves us unconditionally, then the more we're in gratitude and appreciation, we're closer to that feeling of positive energy. And they feel it, right? They know it. And I always have a little tip, is that when I work with a client I love, you know, some clients you just really resonate with and we're laughing through a session and it's just this, you know, we're both, like I said earlier, we're both loving it. I always say to the universe, more like her, please. You know, so it's literally like I imagine that one ideal client, my ICA, and I'm like, you know, send me 10 like her, please. And it's like I imagine behind the background, there's all my little angels going out and finding all the people and bringing them in. And there is this belief in magic and there is this belief in something greater than us that I think creates powerful opportunity that we might never have tapped into had we not have explored the you know, the mystical and the spiritual and the slightly woo-woo. And in my experience, you know, I've taught doctors, I've taught nurses, I've taught professionals, I've taught business owners, Reiki. So ultimately, we're all the same. You know, when we take down our identities and our and how much money we have, or, you know, this is what I love about a Reiki workshop. I have a whole diversity of people that will sit before me. And when we're learning something like Reiki, it just brings us together, you know, with just a desire to want to be nice and kind to each other. Like at its simplicity is, let's connect, let's be real, and let's love each other and nurture each other. Because guess what? In this world of technology, we need love now more than ever. We need connection. And I think it's going to be a highly valued modality moving forward just because of that fact that we're a little starved of it.
Yes, absolutely. And that authentic connection. And yeah. I love some of the points that you've made there about active listening. Obviously, as coaches, that's one of the things we love to do, being non-judgmental, because, we're trying to keep those biases out of the coaching sessions in particular will help with the connection and just being really, really present. Because like you say, how many times do people ask you questions and they're not there to listen to the answer? So sometimes with coaching, it is just a case of people need to be heard, and this is the only forum and opportunity that they can do to be heard.
Yeah, it's so true. It's very true. And in a place where they feel safe, because quite often, you know, whether it's a therapist, as I work with, or whether it's coaches, you know, even I've taught hairdressers before, and you know, anyone that's in the service industry essentially kind of plays that role of, you know, or even, you know, when we're helping our friends, isn't it? You know, we're in that space where we're connecting with each other and just wanting to uplift or help or advise, although we mentioned not advising, but, you know, helping them to find their own solutions and answers. Definitely powerful to connect. And I think even though, and as a business owner, I'm sure you're the same as me, that you've had to pivot the business and you know, we look at what we can do now with the technology that was just never there a few years ago. We can totally lean into this new way of operating business. But even though we can learn online, we still take what we're learning and put it into physical practice, right? We take what we're learning online, for instance, and it's about how do we move it in with the people that matter the most, like our friends and our family, and anything that I guess educates you and leans you more in discovering who you are and what makes you tick and what makes you happy, and you know, and that can be so different for everybody. Certainly has a ripple effect that it creates more harmony in families, it creates more harmony within business working relationships, which is fundamental to business success and growth in the long term, is nurturing, you know, your relationships, both professionally but also with your clients. All of that can be made better by understanding how to, you know, how to really deepen your connections with others. And it's satisfying too, you know, it's really satisfying to know, you know, there's something really meaty about connecting with someone and not just talking on that surface level. You know, when you get to something deep and when someone opens up and reveals something vulnerable, it's such a privilege. It's a real privilege to hold space for someone that trusts you enough to do that and share something vulnerable. And from my experience, there's nothing I haven't heard. We've all been through it because we're all human. We've all done things we wish we hadn't. We've all acted in ways we wish we didn't. So when we come from that, oh, yeah, we're all human. Oh, yeah, we've all stuffed up in major ways, right? And we all feel guilt and shame and pain and all those negative emotions. Because if you're a human, especially when you're getting to our age, Kathy, you know, of course you've been through the gamut of it all. And, you know, just to hold space for another, to let them express it, to release it, is such a gift. And you're right, the power of listening and letting someone share something that they may have bottled up for years, because we're very good at shoving our emotions down. And what we know from my massive amount of study in this field is that when we suppress our emotion, it manifests physically.
Yes.
So if we don't deal with it, it comes out in some form, in a form of some illness. But the good news is we can turn it around with awareness and with, you know, self-responsibility, which isn't always easy.
And I think that sometimes it's things that we need to be aware of with our clients. And like you say, it's those funny little smirks or comments or just a quick little giggle, they're the things that we need to be looking out for, is those non-verbal cues to make sure we're not missing the big picture. We're just hearing what they say as the surface level.
Yeah.
And those bottled up things that are just a little bit under the surface that none of us want to talk about. But like you say, if we don't, the universe will make us talk about it in some way, shape or form.
I know. I'll tell you a funny story if we've got time. But I was sitting in a coaching session with my coach, and I mentioned my husband had called me sexy, and I was really annoyed at it. And she goes, "Really?" So she and I just, as soon as she said, "Really," I know, I'm like, "Oh, damn it!" Like she's seen, and she, "You don't like being called sexy, really? Why is that, Lisa?" I'm like, "Nothing. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about it." I'm like, I was getting so uncomfortable, and the more uncomfortable I was getting, the more she's finding interesting. And then literally, like, I couldn't look her in the face, because to me, the word sexy just felt like I relate sexy as being almost slutty, and I liked being called beautiful. So if my husband, and yet he never did, he was always, you look so sexy, it used to irritate me. But yet if he called me beautiful, it to me wasn't about sex or about sluttiness. It was about acknowledging the whole person. And yet my friend actually didn't like being called beautiful. She'd have the same response I had to the word sexy, Yep. As I had to beautiful. So if someone called a beautiful, it's like, oh, you're just loving me for my looks, not, you know, not my intellect, right? And we went on this big walk because I couldn't, I was still too awkward about it, that we ended up going on a walk to talk about it. And she helped me to unpack that sexy can, she taught me that you can be sexy, because I was personally branding as well. So she was a marketing coach. So she was teaching me how to stand up and be visible and own who I am and find the sexy. And she taught me that you can be classy and sexy, right? And I was like, that was mind-blowing to me. I'm like, what? Like, it's not, you know, boobs out, tacky. It was about dressing and having confidence. And that I could relate to. And so then she spent the next 2 years calling me sexy at any possible opportunity she could find, in front of groups, in, you know, in front of large audiences. And it was all just a you know, to disengage the negativity that I had with the word, and then start to really embrace and own loving myself and being confident in who I am and my body, and embracing, you know, that we have powerful energy as women, and we can be sexy and we can be beautiful and we can do it in a classy way. So
yeah,
embracing it now. So yeah, it's the power of, you know, a conversation I really didn't want to have, but. Isn't it funny the associations that we have with words? Yes. And how much they can mean to us, and how they can, you know, how they can also then affect how we show up in the world, which is important. So yeah, there's lots of juicy secrets in the things we hide.
Indeed. And that's why it's so important to use our clients' words, because they, yeah, exactly what you said, they've got meanings that are not the meaning of the word to themselves. I had a similar situation in my other business, in the website business, where we were doing some social media posts for a client who is a cafe owner, and yeah, I called her food yummy, and she almost had a repulsive sort of reaction to it, because she said, yeah, oh, my food's not yummy, it's delicious and it's fabulous and it's tasty and it's all of these other words. Yeah, yeah, it's really interesting how we put our own biases on words. And we need to be very careful in not only the coaching situation, but making that connection with our clients.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And like you say, sometimes as coaches, we need to unpack that for our client, so that they are not getting a negative reaction when somebody's actually giving them a compliment.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? How much we can deflect something, you know, with our own unease. And I think, yeah, asking questions can really help to do that, when we seek to understand rather than be understood. That can be powerful. And yeah, you know, I think as I was growing up, I was always sitting out in the classroom for talking too much. I was all like, my friend would walk past and go, oh God, you're out of here again. I'm like, yeah. And you know, I kind of make a bit of a joke that I became a speaker. So I turned, you know, what was something that was a natural gift. But the, you know, the real power comes in, you know, what I've learned over the years is how to be a great listener. You know, is so important, so important.
Absolutely.
And makes a big difference. And then, but then also having the courage to be seen. And as women, you know, I teach so many people that have so much to share with the world and are so incredible, but gosh, we play small and we hold ourselves back. And, you know, our male counterparts, they just don't do it. But I think those women, and I know I'm generalizing, but, you know, we've had a lifetime of being told don't get too big, especially in Australia. There's that tall poppy syndrome. It's like, don't get an ego. You know, it's always been about being humble and, you know, helping others and being a little self-sacrificing. And yet it's actually the opposite. When we come from a full cup, then that energy overflows and we've got more to give. So, you know, selfish, we're supposed to give to ourselves first and be a little selfish. So that's probably my last tip that I think is one I'm constantly teaching and reteaching myself, because I, as you know, we often get into that trap of putting ourselves last, especially when the business starts going off and we're busier and we've got too many things and we're struggling to keep up. That self-care gets put to the bottom of the shelf. And even as someone who teaches this, and that's the first thing I teach in Reiki, level one is, you know, nurture yourself first. I have to keep reminding myself to practice what I preach in that regard, and little things like going for a walk, spending time with your friends, having a bath, going getting your hair and your nails done, like, you know, it's the little things that we do often, having a cup of tea outside and just, you know, relaxing. All amazing tips for self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, we always do put people in front of us, and we always tend to, well, once again, generalizing, but a lot of coaches tend to want it to be perfect before they can put it out there.
Oh, yes.
If we just put it out there, then we can tweak it and change it as we go along, because there is no such thing as
perfect. No. And I think I've actually got it on my board, progress over perfection.
Absolutely.
The amount of things that I keep tweaking and tweaking and tweaking because I have a high standard, but that if it pushes to that perfectionism, yeah, you'll never get it done. And
no, you'll never get it out in the world, and then you can't help people.
That's right. That's right. And there's, as my beautiful coach told me in the very beginning, she said, if you don't learn how to speak and talk about who you are and what you can do for people, you're actually hurting them. Yes. And I'm just like, oh, damn, she got, you know, she knew how to use a language that really connected with me, and it allowed me to stop thinking about myself and how I was being perceived as a personal brand so much as to, well, what do my clients need and how can I help them? So it's a big shift in focus. And I think in marketing it's really important, because it's one of the hardest things is to market yourself.
Yes.
And a lot of us are in small businesses, and that's exactly what we have to do. So I know you've got many amazing tips in your podcast. I've listened to a few of them, and, congratulations on your sustainability, because it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work, I know, to get these things up and out to the community. But, again, you're making a huge difference. And, you know, with the kind of experience you've had, like I have in my industry, it's, you know, there's things that we learn that can shortcut the pain to stop others having to go through those hard lessons. So thank you for everything you're doing for all of us as well.
Thank you. And I think that's a real point, is making sure that we are getting out there, because we can be the best coaches in the world, but if nobody knows where to find us, then how are we going to help? And unfortunately, build it and they will come is not going to happen.
No, it doesn't.
You actually send it out into the world. So you can have the most amazing book or the most amazing course or the most amazing teaching, but if people don't know where to find it and how to access it, unfortunately, you're going to have an expensive hobby.
Seems as you've just introduced a book, I'm going to promote mine, because this is exactly what we're talking about. This baby took me about 4 years to write. And it's my heart's work. So it really is helping you to it's a memoir, spiritual memoir, and helping you to understand how tapping into your spirituality can change your life. And you can get it on Amazon. So
for our audio listeners who can't see the book that you were holding, please tell everybody what it is.
It's called Intuitive Reiki, A Transformational Journey of Deep Spiritual Awakening. So we'll probably pop the links up somewhere where you can get hold of it. But it's written for anyone that's curious about Reiki and wanting to learn how it can help them.
Fantastic. And how it can help their coaching business potentially as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. So that's a good area to close off that particular section of the podcast. Now I have 5 questions for you. Are you game, Lisa?
I am up for it.
Excellent. All right. What is the best advice given to you by a mentor?
Probably what I already just shared, the best advice would be, if you don't tell people what you know and how you can help them, you're actually hurting them. That got over all my discomfort at selling and starting to learn how to love selling. And the other thing also is that people don't like being sold to. They just don't like being sold to badly. So don't do it badly. Yeah. Come from
and
love
they don't like being. Yeah, they don't like being sold to, but they like to be given the opportunity to buy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What is the biggest help that you have received since starting your business?
The biggest help was getting a coach, changed my life. I'd spent, you know, probably a good 10 or 15 developing the spiritual and the therapist side of me, but I had no clue about running a business and how to make money. And that was something that, and a lot of spiritual teachers and healers are brilliant, but they don't know how to operate a business. And it is a business. I'm in this, you know, this is my full-time job, but it's not something I do on the side. It hasn't been for years. So the highly recommend getting, and my business coach was a marketer, as you are, Kathy. So highly getting, you know, highly recommend getting a coach that can help you to stop playing small. They can see a bigger vision for you that you would even, that you, you know, probably would never imagine that you could achieve. And it just makes it fun and rewarding. And from my experience, it's best to focus on lots of small steps. And then before you know it, you look back and it's like, wow, look at what I've achieved in 4 years. That's mind-blowing. And I do absolutely believe that if it wasn't for my coach, I wouldn't have done it. And she'll say the same thing. You did it, Lisa. Like I did. I did. I took all the action, but she helped me believe in my capacity to do it. And I think that self-belief was the thing that was not quite there for me. And then the knowledge of all the business things, you know, that I didn't know. So, yeah. That's how I, yeah, the help I've gotten is through a coach.
Excellent. What's your one thing that you have to do every day, your non-negotiable?
At the moment it's walking my Kelpie because he's a highly energized dog, and if I don't walk him, I certainly pay for it. So, and for me that's helping my physical body because I do a lot of online work now, so I have to move my body. Yeah, that would be that. To me, this is the year I'm working on my health. I've got to get fitter and healthier. So, yeah, focusing on my health.
Nice. What is your favorite business book and why?
Ooh, my favorite business book. I don't know off the top. I like Marie Forleo's book, so I've read that. I can't remember the title of it right now. But as an entrepreneur, I really resonated with her style and how to, yeah, I just love the way that she shares her knowledge and her experience. So I can really relate to that. That's probably my favorite at the top of my mind.
Yeah. And what do you wish you'd known when you started out?
I wish I knew my worth earlier on, because I probably would have charged more and honoured myself in the exchange and known that you don't have to do it all on your own. So I think having good support is key, and that's also good business friendships, because there's a difference between friends that own a business and are entrepreneurs. Because the amount of time my friends that work in a full-time job would just say, why don't you go get a job? Like, they don't understand the complexity of being, you know, being your own boss and running a business. So good entrepreneurial friends and support's key. I think that's made a big difference, especially and knowing my why, like really diving in and knowing, you know, why I'm motivated to continue practicing and teaching Reiki. I think on those days when I just want to give up, and there's many of them, you got to be real about it. Like, it's hard when you get a, you know, I had my Facebook account hacked. So I know you've had one of my friends on your podcast. Please listen to her, because I literally lost everything, you know, overnight, because I made a stupid mistake and let a hacker into my account and gave them my two-factor authentication. Because I thought it was Meta. So they got me early in the morning on the phone, and it came through a text message, and it looked like Meta saying there was some urgency, and like I'd fucked up. Yeah, there was some urgency, and like it looked like Meta, it looked like the Facebook login, and it said, you violated our rules. So you straight away go to, I'm a good girl, so I'm always wanting to, I'm a good girl, I don't ever break rules. And I'm honest, and so I went in, and I didn't even twig that they were asking me to put in my password when normally I don't have to on my phone. So then I didn't, for I think about a week, still had no idea how I got hacked. And it was like one day it kind of dawned on me, oh, it was a text message. So I had all the two-factor authentication, I had everything in place, But user error, right? I let them in.
Yep.
Because they're bloody clever. They're so good, so highly. And it's cost my business hundreds of, like, it literally nearly wiped my business and my confidence, because all of a sudden my social proof was in the 15 years of business that I built, all my ads, I'd spent thousands of ads, everything in one moment gone because they kicked me out. And and I was on the phone to Kate going, help, you know. So, you can rebuild, but, I've had to start from scratch. So I can't remember why I've gone off topic. Can't remember what the original question was. Security is, you've got to pay attention to security these days. It's got to be one
of the things. And Lisa is referencing Katrina Ford, or as we call her, Kate. So we've had Katrina on the podcast twice. I think episode 201 or thereabouts was the second time, but we'll put those in the show notes as well. But yes, unfortunately, hacking is something like 98% human error these days. And it's always that urgency. It's always getting you at a vulnerable moment. They seem to know how to time it. And
my husband was away in Nepal at the time, so I was exhausted. I'd been running the business, I'd been running the home. And so, and having my husband overseas, isn't it funny? Like, when we're at our weakest, it's like in comes the invaders to take you down, you know. But like with everything, you know, we can rebuild and we pivot and we change, we start again, and you just don't give up. So it's a resilience that's built into me, I think. But it's also because I've had friends that I've called and business mentors and people that I've developed relationships with. So we can tie that right back into the power of having deep connected friendships and relationships. There's nothing more important than business. Because, it was the friends like Kate, you know, that held me when I was bawling my eyes out going, well, you know, it's those. And then I cried again because she wouldn't charge me. Like, that she's such a beautiful human being that just said, I know the place that you're in, because I'm like, what do I owe you for your time? And she's like, nothing. I'm like, what? You know, that's compassion and love right there, isn't it? That she'll be a friend for life. Because when someone shows that level of love and support, that takes it outside of the business realm, it just speaks volumes as to her character. And isn't that what we want in business? We want to be known as someone that, you know, we can rely on when times get tough, but also we want to pull in people like that closer into our lives.
Absolutely. And it's those same people there that are cheering us on, and we can celebrate our successes with as well. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Because I heard her on the podcast saying that you're going to get to your 500, and you're like, just after you've achieved your 200, and that's it.
That was it. That was something that I hadn't considered either. And it's really funny, because when I very first started, Ray, who was helping with me with the podcast way back then, he said, do 7, do 10. And then I was getting close to 50. So I thought I'd do 50. And then, oh, well, I'll do 100. So you never know. Maybe I'll end up with 500, like Kate says. We'll see what the universe brings us.
Absolutely.
So to wrap this up, Lisa, is there anything that should have been said that hasn't?
No, just thank you, Kathy. Thanks for the opportunity to connect. And, you know, we've met through other, you know, through Liz and through beautiful people. So, again, it's just the power of connection. So I'm very grateful for your time and for the listeners. I hope they've got value out of what I've shared. And, reach out. Send me a DM. You know, you can easily find me on Facebook now. I'm the one with like 300 people instead of 2,000, but that's cool. We're rebuilding.
So if people would like to get in touch with you, what is the best way?
So probably the best way is through my website, which is intuitivereiki.com.au, or through social media, just, Lisa Brandis, Intuitive Reiki, on Facebook. And we're still working out the Instagram one, so I've just lost that. So it's all tied into this hack. So, you'll find me on the website.
Website might be the best
bet. That's the safest option at this point.
Excellent. So thank you very much, Lisa, and we appreciate your time and knowledge. And remember, SPT community, enjoy your journey.
Hey,
Did you enjoy this podcast? Why don't you go and check out the Coach's Marketing Roadmap, your step-by-step guide to accelerate your journey to a thriving coaching business. thecoachesmarketingroadmap.com.au. And don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk for Coaches podcast. Go to smallbusinesstalk.com.au for all the show notes from this episode. Remember, coaches, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode. Take action and implement it. Coaches, you've got this. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Remember, just start. One step at a time, take consistent action, and enjoy your journey.